Hello, you are listening to the Nintendo Switch UK podcast.
Hello and welcome to episode 59 of the Nintendo Switch UK podcast. We're back once again. I'm Mike.
Bonjour, je m'appelle Al.
Anton, I do not know French.
Yeah, I will say that we're not going to do any of the rest of the podcast in French. Otherwise, I'm going to be lost, even though I did hire French. Also, every time I say we're back once again, I always want to finish that with the Renegade Master. If you know, you know. If you don't, you don't worry about it. Hello. Welcome to another episode of the Nintendo Switch UK podcast. Just a quick reminder once again, our website is nsukp.co.uk. Because I haven't said it in a while properly, if you haven't already left us a review on Apple Podcasts, that's the best place to do it. I think we're at 51 five stars right now, which is amazing. Thank you so much for all of those. We would love to get more because it really does help us with the rankings and getting people to listen to us. And also, if you want to leave us a written one, if you've not done that as well, Apple Podcasts is the place to do it. Just a very quick one again, because we haven't done this at the top of an episode in a while, Alistair. But if people want to sign up to our Patreon, there's two tiers. There's the NES and the SNES tier. But what do you get with those?
There is indeed. So on the NES, which by the way stands for New Excellent Supporter, just saying.
Yes.
That is the $1 tier, and that gets people access to our Discord channel, which is fantastic fun. It's where all of our patrons can speak to each other, speak to us, share, well, pretty much all they seem to be sharing at the moment is a lot of Animal Crossing chat, which frankly is going over my head. You get a shout out, woo, from us, as long as you want us to read your name out, and our eternal gratitude, because frankly we love anybody who signs up for that tier, because it's basically just showing some love and showing us that you love the show, and you don't feel you need the extra content. We love that tier. And then the SNES tier, which is the super new excellent supporter tier, and you can add to that all the bonus content that Mike and Anton produce. I'm saying specifically Mike and Anton because I do pretty much none of it. So that is the weekly, the bi-weekly, I should say, or fortnightly. That's a better word.
Yeah, it gets confusing, doesn't it?
Indeed. It does. It gets very confusing. Fortnightly prequel show, which looks at some retro consoles, and the roundup, which looks at all the games coming out over the next 2 weeks. In addition to that, we record what we call our pub chat. It's the Last Call podcast, which is basically us talking, well, nonsense. Frankly, after every recording, we record a nonsense podcast that is just whatever we want to talk about. And that goes out and people apparently like to listen to it. So we've been told.
Yeah.
If you don't, please tell us and we'll stop. And in addition to that, you also get our gamer tag. So you can add us on your Switch and you can see what we're playing.
Yes. Sorry, Anton, I was just going to say as well with that Last Call, by the way, if you're a NES tier member, there is the sneaky opportunity to hear us record that live as well, because we actually record that whilst we're on the Discord channel, so people can listen to us if they're one of our Patreon supporters while we're recording it. So whilst you don't get the recorded version of it, you can actually hear us in action doing it in about an hour from now, which is a Sunday night usually. So there's quite a lot in there, Anton.
Indeed, and as well as that, it's lovely being able to kind of arrange some stuff, like some gaming sessions in the Discord chat, because I know we've had a couple Animal Crossing meetups, and it's just such a lovely sense of community in there. I'm so chuffed with how it's all turned out.
Yeah, it's been really great. One of the things we are going to plan to do once lockdown is well and truly finished, and this is but a distant memory, we will plan to do a meetup as well, and actually get all our Patreon supporters together. So that's another thing that we're planning in the future as well. We're kind of very early days, but I think we're all just eager to do anything that involves meeting other humans at the moment.
Exactly, we are, and we'll even buy you a beer or alcoholic or non-alcoholic beverage of your choice, I suspect.
Yeah, so go get signed up. All the details at nsukp.co.uk. So before we get started, Anton, what have you been playing this week?
Oh, I think I am one of many still plotting away with Animal Crossing. Done such things as Tarantula Island, which is basically there's one creature that's worth a lot of money, and you can kind of bend the mechanics of the game to get you tons of that and just farming that. And outside of that, that's been the gist of my week. Very quiet and just... That's been a nice half hour, kind of beginning and end of the day, and kind of slowly trying to decide what I want to buy in that eShop sale, because there's too much to choose.
Alistair, what about you? What have you been playing?
Well, I'm still on Mario Rabbids. I played quite a bit of that this week, actually. So I must
Did
be
you buy
the
it
end.
In the sale?
I bought it in the sale around about Christmas time, I think, off the top of my head. So I've definitely had value for money. It's a really good game. I actually have really enjoyed it. So I've also been playing Mario Kart. And that might be a bit obvious when we come to the quiz later on. Say no more. Oh,
spoilers.
I know. Spoiler alert. Just on Mario Rabbids, the reason that I was going to jump in there was because right now it's on sale for £7.50 in the eShop.
It's a bargain. Go and buy it. If you've not already bought it, go and buy it. It's great. Yeah.
I mean, I have no reason to buy any games right now, but I am going to buy that simply because that is a ridiculous eShop price because, you know, a Mario title and one that if you're not a Rabbids fan, which I know a lot of people aren't, forget that. Doesn't matter. It's a really unique experience. So I'm gonna jump in, I think, and pick that up. I've been played a bit more Bulletstorm, which I've been enjoying. Not a huge amount this week. One of the reasons is I've got really into my Spectrum Next this week and I've got it all set up properly.
Other than the good Wi-Fi. Spectrum Next.
It's been great. It's been really good. So in fact, I've kind of got it set up in my studio right now. I've just put it on my Instagram page and my story. So if anyone's on Instagram, they can follow me. Our songwriter, if you go and follow me within 24 hours of now, you should still see it. That's my tag, our songwriter. And you'll see the Spectrum Next set up next to the where I'm sitting now to record this. So I've been kind of working on that as well as working from home. But I have played a bit of Bulletstorm. I also were finally onto the last floor of Luigi's Mansion, although we haven't. We're doing it slowly because we're kind of a bit behind you now, Alistair. But we'll get to that. And that's kind of been the main things I've been on. I want to get through Bulletstorm first before I jump onto anything else. But it's just been temptation of so many games right now, so many sales, so many things to potentially get. So yeah, Anton, I got to say, Animal Crossing, I'm still tempted to sort of, you know, make the jump. But and I think the thing is as well, people were saying that it's not actually the kind of game that you know, you can spend days and days on it, but you can just do the hour here and there. And that seems to be what you're doing with it.
Yeah, like I find it funny. I have a good cohort of Animal Crossing aficionados where they're like, oh, you need to do like XYZ and save up like half a million bells to do X in this day so you can keep the progression going every day. I'm like, I'm fine. I'm building my little wee home studio and I'm buying plants and water and stuff. Like I'm just plodding along, maybe literally half an hour in the morning, maybe check what the stores are doing. Not even that. Sometimes it's just a nice hopping game, and the online aspect's been really nice, just going over and dropping into other people's towns and kind of seeing what progress they've made and then like visiting their stores and their characters. It's just like a nice easy game. Or you can go Die Hard, which I don't get the hardcore community.
Well, you can play as John McClane. Wow.
Yeah.
But the question is it a Christmas game or not? That's the question. Sorry. Okay, right, let's move on then to this week's news.
Tell us what people want to know.
Now, first up then, we have some game announcements, and it's Calypso Media. They've announced Tropico 6 for the Switch. It's a construction management and political simulation where you're the El Presidente and you commit to totalitarianism and electoral fraud. I know I've seen Tropico 6 over the year, or Tropico over the games over the years, Anton. I think I've always thought this was the kind of game that would work perfectly on the Switch.
Yeah, it's a very interesting franchise where it's got elements of like a SimCity mixed with Civilization, but then it takes itself not slightest in the seriousness. And for me, that's a really nice gateway for it because it appears to have a lot of depth, but with the comedic aspects of it, that's just a lovely hook, and also means you get to play forever, which other political games you can't really do as much. But are you familiar with this franchise at all, Alistair?
It's one I've always watched from afar, and in all honesty, I've actually always wanted to play, but I've never had it on the PC because I don't have the time really commit to sitting in front of a PC for hours and hours and hours. But the Switch actually seems like a really good place for this to pop up. It's quite funny, when I was looking around earlier on, I saw somebody in the comments on one of the pages online had suggested that this was basically a grown-up Animal Crossing. I think they decided it's Animal Crossing for adults. But yeah, I think in all seriousness, I'm quite pleased that this is coming to Switch because I might finally get a chance to play a tropical game. I think your wife played Tropico, didn't she, Mike?
No, she plays Civ Rev, but she might play the demo of Tropico on the PlayStation 4, perhaps Tropico 4.
Yeah, I want to say. I have a funny feeling she did. I remember having a conversation with her about it one day.
Yeah. Oh, maybe. It's the kind of game that I can see you playing and I could see her playing, Alistair, but it does. It looks
dark
like it's
and twisted.
Yeah, maybe that's it.
Yeah, the thing that's quite nice about this franchise is it's unlike, like, the, let's say, City Skylines or something like that. It's one of those PC style games that's had a couple console ports under its belt. Like, I believe they had these back kind of 360 era, so I'm hoping controls wise it shouldn't be hampered too bad by the Switch, especially considering we've got a touchscreen on top of the usual inputs.
Yeah, absolutely. I think it's the kind of thing that, you know, this kind of game I get really lost in when I do play them, so I'm going to be interested to see whether that does happen or not. So I've just been completely distracted because I've just seen something, and I don't know if you've included this in today's news or rumours, but I just want to sidestep it because I'm actually almost hyperventilating with excitement if this is actually true.
Breaking news.
Well, it's been talked about, and I've just seen a trailer saying, here's the announcement from a Nintendo... it's not an official one, but it's a 2K game. And it's just sort of...
Is it ice hockey?
No, it's more exciting than that. It's one of my all-time favourite games, and it's Mafia 2.
Really?
That would be an interesting but not 100% far-off prediction.
So, I know this is jumping ahead to, you know, rumours, and you know, this is only just because I've seen it now. So, according to the story, it's been rated by the Korea Games Rating Board for the Switch, which says to me that there's a good chance here that this is going to happen. If it does happen, honestly, Mafia 2 is one of my favourite games. I had Mafia 3. I didn't really get into it in the same way, but Mafia 2, I'll be buying that day one because that is just, it's such a fun game. I love the way that you go through time. You know, you sort of start in 1 year and you sort of grow with your role in the mafia and all the rest of it. So 2010 that came out originally, and it's still a great title. So I'd be really excited if that does happen. But
I think you're right. From what I can see from a quick Google, it was announced about, what's today's date? Yesterday was announced.
Is it officially announced?
Seems to be.
Interesting. That one's...
Oh, no. Actually, when you go further down, it says this isn't official.
Yeah.
See, that's what
I'm
thinking.
Is this an April Fool's that's grown arms and legs?
No, I think it genuinely has been rated by the Korean Games Rating Board. I think that's where this has come from. So I think basically it's watch this space. But usually, games rating boards don't tend to rate things unless... You know, this is where we see a lot of...
This is the reason, yeah.
Yeah, we see a lot of these leaks coming from there. So I know I've kind of switched into rumour mode there, but I do think it's quite a big one. So, if that does happen, then I'll be buying it day one.
Yeah, basically. I loved that one. That was my personal go-to, because whereas the first one felt like a kind of GTA clone, the third one kind of felt like an action movie with a kind of 1950s aesthetic. The second one literally felt like you were in The Godfather. Like, it had that kind of 80s interpretation of the 50s, which just made it kind of almost romantic in some ways. The Christmas bit in that time. I love it. So, let's hope for the best. But 2K have treated the Switch incredibly nicely in the past. So,
well, yes, certainly recently they have. It's like they've just suddenly realised, wait a minute, there's a lot of money to be had in this here Switch. moving on to the next announcement, get back onto announcements. Octato, they've announced Airhead, a cinematic and intense platform game coming to the Switch in 2021. What do we know about this one, Anton?
To be honest, not very much, but we do have some gameplay of it and a kind of fully kind of ambient cinematic trailer. And it's very much just kind of a game where you'd have to look at the gameplay, and if that kind of captures your imagination, then you're really in. But gameplay mechanics, it doesn't look anything more kind of complicated than, let's say, a Limbo or an Inside in terms of its mechanics. Like, you can climb ropes, you can jump, you can avoid obstacles. Very simplistic, but does look quite nice, I would say. But I'm not too sure beyond that what else they're bringing to the table.
Yeah, I kind of had the same feeling. So I was watching the trailer. There's obviously something to do with inflating your head. Your head gets bigger and smaller, which is some part of the mechanic, but it doesn't look like it's I mean, we might be wrong, but it doesn't look innovative and groundbreaking from the small amount that I've seen. But yeah, I would love to be proved wrong. I always love to be proved wrong.
Yeah, I mean, I think it looks pretty well polished. I think a lot of this is going to be in the story and the gameplay. Obviously, we don't know an awful lot yet, but I think it looks good. Like you both, I don't think it's really grabbed me in the way that some other games instantly do, but I will be keeping an eye on that one. It is a little while to go yet until it's released, so there'll be no doubt some changes as well to that. So 2021. Next up, Atari have announced Pong Quest, a humorous RPG expansion on the classic game Pong, which we might have heard of before, coming out in 2021. Anton, tell us a bit more about this one. This is an odd one.
This one is certainly a weird one, and I would hate to have just ordered the new Atari console for their game to come out on Switch, but nevertheless, you kind of play as kind of like humanoid version of the Pong paddles, and then the game Pong kind of comprises battles within of it. It's it doesn't look bad, but I don't know, I'm just sad
weird
to see what Atari's became over the years.
It looks quite good.
Yeah,
I watched this and like, that's really cool. They've taken the concept of Pong and then just turned it on its head and just done everything you could possibly think of doing it. So I mean, you're at one point you're playing tennis along the bottom and with your Pong paddles and the Pong ball, and just there's like, but yeah, there's just, I don't even know how to describe it. They've just done everything you can possibly do with two paddles and a ball. They have done it, and then there's a whole lot of other mechanics and things thrown into it. It's bright, it's colourful, it's cheery. I think at one point in the trailer it shows you the four player sort of multiplayer action. Oh. It looks like it should be a barrel of laughs, frankly.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I gotta say, I'm quite intrigued by this. Maybe that's the retro in me. You know that I'm a sucker for a retro concept, but I love the idea of building on that, and especially a game like Pong, which pretty much everybody knows Pong. You know, if they don't know it as Pong, they'll know it as one of the many clones. So yeah, looking forward to that. 2021, that's coming, so I'll be interested to see where that one develops and where it goes to next. Next up, Halberd Studios, they've announced and successfully funded 9 Years of Shadows. It's a calm, zen-like Metroidvania. As far as Metroidvanias go, Anton, they're always a little tough for me, being particularly clumsy when it comes to these kind of games. So a Zen version sounds quite good.
Yeah, it's interesting where it does have a somewhat dark and creepy art style. But kind of looking through the press materials, like they've got kind of an ambient soundtrack. They present it in kind of a more subdued manner. So it's going to be a really fascinating one where to see how they balance challenge and difficulty with kind of making this game kind of have that supreme kind of atmosphere that they seem to be going for. Artistically, it's on the simple side, but kind of with it being subjective, I think it looks nice to my eyes, but I don't know if that's maybe just me.
I was going to say, it reminds me of a simplified Child of Light in terms of the look, but with a more of a kind of platformy kind of base to it. But you know, Child of Light's got that kind of, it's got moments in there, like the cutscenes remind me of that too in the trailer, but like more pixelated. So yeah, I think, you know, I quite like the look of this, Alistair. Of course, it's one that has been funded successfully, so we know that there's some interest in it already.
Yeah, I mean, there's obviously quite a lot of substance to it. There's a lot of thought and care and love appears to have gone into it. Just by looking at it and the fact it's gone through the Kickstarter machine means that a lot of people will now be personally invested in it, not just financially invested in it. There's some cool lighting effects going on in there, actually. For what is a fairly simple visual, it's got a bit of depth to it. I think that's probably how I put it. And actually, I quite like the art style that's not necessarily in the game, but that they were using to promote it, which sort of looked like, I don't know how to describe it. Remember when you were a kid, you used to get those black like boards and you'd scratch off the top layer of black to reveal metallic colours underneath, and you'd draw pictures on them? Remember them?
Yeah, I remember
those. It looked like all the artwork had been done with them. It was kind of cool. I liked that.
Yeah, I think it's definitely got something about it, this game, and I guess that's why, you know, they have managed to successfully fund that. So yeah, I'll be, again, that's another one that we'll want to sort of see where that goes. So many amazing titles. You know, you're looking at some classics that are coming to the Switch, some new concepts based on old concepts. It's been really good. And here's another one that I'm very excited about that's coming to the Switch. So we now know, we talked about this last week. In fact, we talked in depth about why The Outer Worlds had delayed things, and we now know when it's coming out, which is really exciting. It's coming out on the 5th of June. It will be digital and physical. The guide price at the moment is $49.99. I suspect that will definitely be the digital price. I would still imagine that you'll be able to pick up a physical for slightly less, maybe $40. But I will definitely be getting that one. I'm very excited for The Outer Worlds on the Switch, Alistair.
Me too. I'm going to sidestep my rant about physical and digital pricing. I'll just skip right over that and just insert rant here. And yeah, I'm really excited because I still, despite having that Xbox Game Pass for a month on the PC, I didn't actually get around to trying it. I suspect it probably wouldn't have worked on my PC anyway. But it just looks so cool. I'm desperate to play this game.
Yeah, I completely agree. I was fortunate enough to give it a wee go on Xbox Game Pass, and as somebody who liked the Fallout games but never got really far in it because, you know, you either get lost or get bored or kind of something's a little bit poor, the level of polish of this, it felt like the Bethesda game that Bethesda was never able to make. It just so polished.
Wow, praise indeed.
Because, you know, I think for years we've gave Bethesda games a kind of a pass, like, oh, you know, Skyrim's a little bit broken, but you get the big world and the characters, and the voice acting's not good in Fallout because XYZ, the scale. But then this game just comes out and ticks every single box, and after giving it a wee go, I think I got, like, the first, like, couple chapters, I was like, nope, this is a game I want to take on the go and take it with, like, just pour all of my time into, so... Super excited, and my god, another £50 title to add to the Amazon wishlist. Oh my.
What? It's the problem, exactly the same. There's so many good titles coming at the moment. But for me, I've got this big Mass Effect shaped hole in my catalogue of gaming at the moment. And whilst I don't think this is obviously quite the same, it does have an element of that kind of, you know, otherworldly discovery type thing. And yeah, I'm really looking forward to The Outer Worlds, playing it properly. I've watched quite a few reviews on it. I kind of know what it is and isn't doing. You know, that Bethesda game that they never made type idea. I think you're spot on with that as well. And yeah, I'm just really excited for it, Anton.
Oh, I think it's delightful that yous are on board with it because, you know, I've played like the last three Fallout games, like up until Fallout 3. And, you know, a lot of the decisions, yet they're meant to be like a degree of moralness. It was like, oh, you're either good or you're bad or you're kind of neutral. In this game, there was decisions I had to make, and I just like I turned off the computer, walked away for a day. I'm like, I need like a good day and a half to think about which route I'm going here because they have some really big effects. And it's like, okay, I don't know what's the right answer here, and you really have to weigh up your morality, which I think would be some fantastic conversation with yous too.
Nice.
Yeah, well, that's one of the things I really like about this game is the choice that you're given and the amount of possibilities that brings. So yeah, very much looking forward to that, and I think it's one that we'll all be jumping into when it does come out in June the 5th. Way Forward, they're going to be releasing Cat Girl Without Salad, Amuse Boucher à April. What was it? Amuse Boucher. Is that right?
Amuse Bouche.
Oh, yeah. Amuse Bouche. Okay, right. It's an April Fool's space shooter game they made in 2013. I mean, it looks very budget, but is it any good, Anton?
That's a wonderful question there, Mike. It's very Nancat 20, like early 2010s, over the top rainbow unicorns, magical extravaganza. It looks very simple, and I think, as I believe this was an Xbox Live Arcade game, I doubt they would be asking too much, but very much still a joke game, I imagine. But it was good enough for them to port, apparently. So
yeah, and you can buy it on the store for £6.24.
Okay, so
that's not bad.
It came out on, I don't know why, it was released on April Fool's Day. It's 1st of April this game was released, but it is genuinely there, and you can genuinely go and buy it. Don't know who would.
Yeah, well, you know, for £6, I guess if you're looking for something different, then it might be the one that makes you, you know, jump for it. But yeah, I probably won't be rushing out to buy it.
It looks awful. Really, really, really bad.
I don't think it looked that awful, but it just looked budgety to me. But yeah, I don't think any of us will be jumping to get that one. Cellador Games have announced Rogue Legacy 2, a platform game with roguelike elements and brand new hand-drawn art style. Is this the game, Anton, that you got lost playing loads of?
Yeah.
The first one?
You know, this game came out in 2013, and you would have thought that I had planned to replay 50 hours of it at the beginning of the year. But no, it's super excited to see this. And looking, they've only shown off a couple of screenshots. Art style wise, it looks quite nice to my eye, but I don't know if I'm a bit of a fanboy in that regard. So feel free to discredit me there. But it looks like they've kept the same gameplay loop. It would appear from the screenshots, at least, they have the same kind of enemy classes. So I'm hoping this is going to be a lot of a, less so like a whole new continuation, but more so a reinvention of the same gameplay loop, but expanded, because that was where the game kind of fell short. So it was if you got to all the new game pluses and all that, it kind of repeated a little. So really excited for this one personally. But how are you feeling? How are you feeling, Mike? Because obviously you've never played it and you've just heard me blather on.
I mean, I've heard you talk about it and I've heard you kind of say really good things about it. So more of the same sounds like the way to go, because I think sometimes with sequels there's the temptation to completely change things, but with this, because it is a roguelike, I think it makes a lot of sense. So really interested to see how this one goes, and I guess we'll be coming to you, Anton, to find out how that does
Indeed.
Go. But Alistair, what about you? What's your thoughts on it?
I would love to say that I was excited by it, but the whole roguelike thing is just passing me by. I can't be bothered with them. I don't have the time to do the same thing over and over again, even if it is procedurally generated. I really want to love this game. I want to get excited by it. I wanted to get excited for Anton, but I kind of struggled to do it.
Yeah. It's not something I would instantly pick up and play, but I'm intrigued to try it. So at some point I may pick it up, but I have so many games right now to play. It's probably not going to be on my list. So we'll leave Anton to let everyone know.
I think that probably the best thing to come from this is with this coming out, like I picked up Rogue Legacy for like £3 on Switch. Yeah. So hopefully with a sequel on the way, that'll get a little bit cheaper. And I do believe like that first roguelike is like baby's first roguelike. So hopefully get a lot more people into the genre.
Excellent. Cool. Well, next up is a game that I am interested in, and that's from Chucklefish, who did at one point Stardew Valley? Witchbrook, which is a new magic school life sim. Think like, for me, it's like Earthbound meets kind of Stardew Valley with a school where you've got like Harry Potter elements in it. That's how I see it. And that's enough for me, Anton.
Yeah, this is a game where I think at first glance I was like, oh, this is a mobile game ported, because it has that kind of simplistic, small pixely aesthetic. But knowing the talent that's behind it, you know it's going to be crammed to the brim full of content and will be very refined in the kind of core mechanics. So although this wouldn't be my first Chucklefish game I would want to jump in with, I could only imagine for kind of the world of Harry Potter kind of super fans how exciting this would be, even though it's not officially Harry Potter.
Well, I have a funny feeling this might be one of the games I can actually finally use to get my other half to go and buy a Switch, because she loves Harry Potter, and this game looks like it might be the hook. I don't know. My only concern is, well, it's not really a concern, Chucklefish had issues, shall we say, because although they initially published Stardew Valley, it was pulled from them. Because when they developed, is it Starbound, I think was the one that they did afterwards, there was a bit of controversy about potentially exploiting workers. I will say no more because I don't want any libel cases. But there was a bit of controversy around it. And I think, what's the guy's name that actually developed Stardew Valley? It's gone out of my head. Eric Barron. He pulled it from them. So they don't actually publish Stardew Valley anymore. So yeah. there's a bit of controversy. So I'm not necessarily going to give it a free pass, but I am quite excited about it. And I think it's got a lot of potential. It looks cute, and I like cute. We all know I like cute.
Yeah, I agree. I think the look of it is nice. For me, I think what's exciting about it is that kind of school wizard sim thing, you know, in the style of, you know, a Stardew Valley or something along those lines, that, you know, you can actually go and do tasks and kind of live that life. I think it's a really nice idea. And I think it's the right way for them to go in terms of the art style. So, I'm very interested to see how that one progresses. Of course, it's not officially announced for the Switch yet, but we suspect it probably will be, because it's definitely got that look, and that's certainly the early rumors. Next up, this again another one for Anton, Minecraft Dungeons. The release date has been pushed back to May the 26th, which is probably good for you, Anton, because you've got plenty to play.
Yeah, there's a fair share, but it was thankfully only delayed a month, so, and as well as that, obviously we're not getting it that far we're not waiting that long, so excited to get this one along, because I think outside of the Minecraft skin, it looks to have a lot of content on its bones, so curious to see what the general reception is to this one. But I imagine it's not gelling with any of yourselves.
Well, no, it's purely because I've never played Minecraft. That is all it is. I actually think Minecraft Dungeons for me is more appealing. I know we talked just the other week, Alistair, about how we're not such a fan of, you know, the dungeons in some of the bigger titles like, you know, the Zelda games, which is, I know, sacrilege to say, but, you know, I still think that this one, there is something interesting about this. I think it's an interesting sort of way to take the franchise.
Yeah, Minecraft's a franchise I've never really got into. I've seen kids playing Minecraft and gone, I don't get it. There's a little bit of me, the back of my brain kind of wants to get it, but at the same time, stubbornly and obtusely goes, yeah, I'm not going to do that.
Yeah, I think I always find it weird when they've done one spin-off of Minecraft before, and that was the story mode done with Telltale. So I find it interesting where the two expansions we've had, spin-offs we've had to Minecraft, have been the very linear, and they've kind of been more gamified versions of the kind of open sandbox philosophy of the original. So it's, you know, you could possibly just remove the Minecraft from this game and it would just be Diablo.
Well, I'm going to be playing Diablo probably in the coming week because it's on sale right now. My brother bought me a copy of Diablo, and he, because we were going to do it in person, but we can't at the moment, he's decided he's going to pick it up in the sale so we can play it. So you never know, that might be enough. I might have such a good time with that I, you know, get into the Minecraft Dungeons world by the time May 26th rolls around. But I suspect there'll be one or two other games on my list as well. Next up, Star Wars Jedi Knight, Jedi Academy, the crossplay patch is in the works. We know, Anton, that Switch players were having a real tough time against PC players for various reasons. This patch maybe give people the option just to play against Switch players?
Yeah. They haven't expanded what it is, but they've more so pitched it as a patch to the issues they were having, where basically Switch players weren't competitive with PC players. The possible alternative to them just patching it is kind of giving aiming aids and kind of fixing the game and giving the kind of either the PC players enough handicaps or kind of making it more playable for the Switch users. But yeah, fingers crossed, enough people have bought this game to kind of sustain on Switch to sustain its own community, and they can kind of separate them out and make it a little bit more of a even playing field.
Yeah, you'd hope so.
I think that was the one thing. I think if you're a Switch player, you know, even if you've played it in the first time around and you're coming to it, then you are at a significant disadvantage. So hopefully that's helped with this patch. Next up, Platinum Games. Okay, so a bit of a weird week with Platinum Games, because they did this April Fool's joke thing for Platinum Games the fourth one. So they announced, it was a bit weird, it was a bit lost on a lot of people, and I think most people were just a bit kind of like, eh? So they announced an 8-bit vertical shooter called Sol Cresta, but it was an April Fool's joke, the joke being it was a sequel to Terra Cresta, but it was just believable enough for everyone to be disappointed, and that was the real problem. They also are announcing another announcement, Platinum 5. So there is a fifth announcement coming anyway, which might be the real Platinum 4, which we didn't get because that was an April Fool's joke that nobody really got apart from the people that were in the joke, which was very few people. Anton, does that sum it up?
Yeah, yep, you basically summed it up. I think as well as that, they earlier in the week they announced that they're making a second studio in Tokyo. So that was the third announcement, which I think as well as that, although exciting because, you know, that's a very small team that's pumped out a lot of big titles, so having a second team is fantastic, doesn't really mean anything to the end user. And then to follow up with a April Fool's joke that kind of seemed very believable because it kind of looked like an arcade archive sort of thing, just left people kind of double stung, where obviously we started up so strong with the one for 101, and then they just did this.
In fact, if you remember last week, we were a bit confused about whether there had or had not already been an announcement 3. And what we took from the website was they were going to announce announcement 3 in Tokyo. We didn't get that they were launching a whole new studio. And like you say, for us, it's interesting. Don't really care. It's not that big of an announcement. Just give us some more games.
Yeah. I think that there's maybe a little bit of an ill thought out thing where, you know, it's like when you tell an in joke on the radio, it's funny for the people that are involved, but nobody gets it and nobody cares. And I think that's a bit like what happened here, Anton.
Yeah, and it's I almost have a theory because they started off with two really big announcements, and then it feels almost like a little bit phoned in with these last two. So it almost makes me wonder if they maybe had some games in the work and had to push them back. And then they're like, oh, let's like announce the studio, then do a joke. And then that joke just really landed flat. Because not only do people, not only was it kind of believable, but the game they were parodying and joking about, I don't think anybody's really familiar. Like, I'm probably on the better end of being familiar with games from the 80s, and I'm not familiar with Terra Cresta.
Me neither, like, if, to be honest.
Somebody in their marketing, PR and comms department probably needs to have a bit of a stern talking with, I suspect.
Yeah, like, it would work if they announced, like, Superman 64 2 or South Park Racing for the PS1 remastered, but...
Exactly, yeah. Yeah, and that's it. It's just a bit of a misfire, I think, maybe. But look, you know, if they do have a big fifth announcement, then all will be forgotten and forgiven, I am sure. Next up, after losing their legal battle with Nintendo in Japan, Game Vice are now restarting proceedings in the US with an attempt to block all imports of the Switch into the US. What's the reason behind this, Alistair? Why are they doing this?
Because they want to try and make some money.
Well, yes. Okay.
I mean, it's ridiculous. They've already lost us. So the Game Vice had this product that, if you're going to be really, really kind, vaguely resembles a Switch concept.
Oh, is this? Okay, right. Yeah, now I remember. I'd forgotten.
Yeah, and so they tried to sue Nintendo in Japan and didn't get anywhere. So now they're trying to sue Nintendo in the US. Just, I mean, I understand why they're doing it. It's business moves. They're not going to get anywhere. They just are not going to get anywhere. It's going to be the slightest little niggle for Nintendo, who... No, they're not going to get anywhere, not going to bother really doing much except defend it with minimal amount of effort.
Yeah, I think, you know, there's, remembering back to that device, it was hardly a carbon clone of a Nintendo Switch, was it, Anton?
No, like, if I could imagine if there was, like, they had some form of rails, you could get away with it, but the kind of main thing in their kind of patents that they draw upon is the idea of a bridge being the device, where on the Game Vice, it's literally like a piece of fabric that holds the phone and kind of is the device aspect of it. But their argument is that the Nintendo Switch tablet is the bridge for the actual unit, which feels incredibly loose to me. And it's weird where it seems like the behavior of a company that's maybe going out of business, but with kind of the likes of Apple Arcade, Call of Duty Mobile, Game Vice as a company, I imagine, is probably doing better than they've ever done in former years. So it seems weird that they're deploying such kind of aggressive moves to kind of take down Nintendo when it's already shown to be a bit of a losing battle.
Yeah, seems a bit of a waste of everyone's time, but I'm sure they have their reasons. Next up, Voez, the rhythm game, is getting a Shovel Knight update, which is a nice little crossover again. Not an awful lot to add to that other than, it's nice to see when you get two different types of games coming together with sort of, you know, some sort of collaboration, Anton.
Indeed, and I do love the Shovel Knight soundtrack. That would be lovely on vinyl. So if they can get on that too, I would be happy.
Yeah, absolutely. Anything to add, Al?
No, just let's not give Anton more excuses to spend money.
Yeah, very fair. Next up, Clubhouse Games 51 Worldwide Classics. That's that one that we saw and everyone went, at the last Direct, the Indie World. What? No, yeah, it was the Indie World. No, it wasn't. It was the Direct Mini. Sorry. Mini. It's easy to see why we got confused with the Indie World with this one, though. Very odd. Anyway, it's getting a physical release. Nothing more to add to that, really.
Does this mean you're now going to buy it?
Panzer Dragoon. There are a couple of things in there that I'm quite interested by, but it depends on price. If it's full price, no. Panzer Dragoon Remake has updated and added an unremixed soundtrack, so it's a little bit of an update there for you as well. Did you want to say something there, Anton?
Yeah, that game, I don't know if you've seen the reviews, everybody's been panning it. Apparently it just misses the mark on like every single part of the aspect, and apparently it ruined the soundtrack, so we're getting an unremixed version now. So it's a real shame, because I don't know, it's like a really rare Sega Saturn game, and it would have been lovely to revisit this, but it's doesn't look to be the golden version, sadly, so I guess we wait another day.
Well, I did say it looked terrible when they first announced it, whenever it was, a year ago, 6 months ago, one of the, was it an Indie Direct at the time? I can't remember where it launched in. In fact, it was a Direct. And I said it looked rubbish then, and I'm going to stand by that.
you get your golden I told you so of the year.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
Well, there we are. After getting cancelled, the Kickstarter to get the Kickstarter got cancelled. They got a publisher, Enchanted Portals. It's back on Kickstarter. So they got rid of the Kickstarter to get a publisher. Didn't work out. So it's back on Kickstarter, saying we believe it would grant us more control over the project. But let's face it, Anton, what that means is it didn't work out, right?
Yeah, and it's a real shame. They've probably, I presume they've maybe lost a lot of the momentum that first Kickstarter had, because yet there was a lot of naysayers of the project. It was written about and kind of promoted about and was floating around, so...
So remind me, Enchanted Portals, is that the Cuphead clone?
Indeed, thing? Alistair.
Cool. Hmm. Yeah, it looked interesting. I mean, I was moderately intrigued by it, shall we say. I mean, it's not a big surprise it didn't get anywhere with a publisher, because frankly, publishers would be thinking, that is just a liability, I'm going to get sued, I'm going to walk away from this. And that's probably why they're back in Kickstarter. That's my theory on it anyway.
Quite possibly. Next up, in a new interview with Xbox, the head of Xbox... Sorry, let me start that again. In a new interview with Xbox head Phil Spencer... In an interview with an Xbox and Phil Spencer, who chatted with an Xbox...
Mr. Xbox, Xbox.
Didn't say very much other than... Like, that was the intro screen. He shared his respect for Nintendo, but says, I don't really love this idea that for every one of our games there becomes this little rumour, is it going to end up on the Switch or not? I feel we should set a better expectations with our fans than that. No, bring the rumours on, I say, Alistair.
Yeah, everyone likes a rumour. If nothing else, it's good for Nintendo, because it means their games get talked about more. I mean, this is not a bad thing. Why are you saying this, Phil, you moron?
Yeah.
I agree. Anton?
I find it funny, they had the same kind of naysayers when they first started bringing the games to PC, where you had people who'd been buying Xbox Ones being like, oh, well, like, I bought an Xbox for all these games, and then you're throwing them to the PC, and it kind of calmed down during the period. So I think we just need a little bit of breathing room. I think it's safe to say we're not expecting to get their big AAA, like, let's say, Halo Infinite or whatever on the Nintendo Switch, but getting your Ori and the Blind Forest, your Cupheads, it's not too competitive. The money goes to the same Monopoly man.
No. Exactly, and at the end of the day, if you've got your Xbox One or Xbox whatever letter they've got after them, and lost track of Xboxes, you're probably going to have a graphically better gaming experience anyway than you are on the Switch. We Switch owners don't care, but if you want that, that's what you got your Xbox for. Just enjoy it.
Indeed, and I think with Microsoft being kind of, I would say, the best people for crossplay. Like, for instance, with Minecraft, I could carry a save from my phone to my Switch to the Oculus to my PC to an Xbox and not miss a beat. I think they're just multiplying money. No other person would buy 7 copies of Minecraft for one console, but spread it out, then you've made all the money.
Yeah, absolutely. It's genius. So, Phil, stop talking.
Yeah, shush. Next up, port specialist Virtuos. They're the team behind the ports of L.A. Noire and Dark Souls, two pretty good ports. They say they're prepared for porting Xbox Series 5 and PS5 games to Switch. Yeah, I mean, ambitious, but we have got the Switch Pro, which we don't know much about just yet. So it could happen, Anton?
Yeah, I think basically the kind of message behind this is, yet they would need to be more cut corners with these ports. The fruitful thing is they're on the same architecture, very similar technology to the kind of Xbox One and PS4, so they're not having to develop any new ways of porting. Basically, if there's a PlayStation 5 game at the end of the year, if they want to port it, the technology is already in place and they can just get to work, and there'll be no downtime for them porting AAA games to Switch, and that's absolutely what we want to hear here.
Yeah.
Yeah, that is pretty cool. That's assuming, of course, we get a PlayStation 5 anytime soon, which is potentially looking a bit ropey, I believe, but that's for another podcast, I think.
Indeed.
Next up, this is good news. All the BioShock and Borderlands games will be sold individually on the eShop. I think that's a really sensible and a good move as well, although I'll probably buy the collections, but a lot of people won't be bothered by that. They'll want to buy one of the games. Particularly, I'm thinking, you know, BioShock 3, Anton's quite different to 1 and 2, for example, so you might find someone that wants to go and play Infinite Was it Infinite? Bioshock Infinite, I think that's what it's called.
Indeed, yeah.
So some people might just want to play that, but not bother with the first tier. So I think that's a really good move.
Indeed, and similarly, I think for people who are maybe not so familiar with the franchises or kind of on the fence, being able to try one of the titles seems the way I would at least want to get into, like, maybe try the first Bioshock, or I imagine lots of people would just buy Borderlands 2 to have that one four-player online shooter. But I'm totally into this. How are you feeling, Alistair?
I think it's a really good move as well. I mean, I think I said before, I was quite excited about the Borderlands games coming. I actually quite like the idea of being able to buy a Borderlands game to try it before chucking 50, 60 odd quid at buying a collection, whatever price it ends up being when it comes out.
Yeah. I tend to agree with that as well. I think it's a really sensible move. Surprising as well, because to be honest, if I'm being perfectly... Cynical. I thought they might just say, no, it's all or nothing. But hey, that's good. So there we are. Next up, E3 2021 has been confirmed. I guess with all the sort of, you know, people sort of saying, well, the death knell of E3 is the fact that 2020 didn't go ahead. Obviously, we know the reasons why it's not gone ahead has all been because of the current coronavirus situation. But a lot of people were saying, well, you know, it's the right time for them not to be going ahead anyway. And so this is kind of them getting ahead of the curve a bit here, Anton, isn't it? And saying, no, don't worry, we'll be here in 2021.
Yeah, I think they were maybe, whether it was just for their public image or to other brands that they collaborate with, basically just saying, hey, don't go to too much effort setting up a digital conference next year because it'll be back to normal next year. Come along, Bethesda. Don't make your own live stream or Square Enix or whoever still goes to E3. We'll be back, which is...
This will be fascinating to see how many people actually now subscribe and go along to it. Because it's all very well them saying, yeah, it's on, but that would be a bit of weird if no one turned up to it. It would be a big empty hangar with no one in there.
Yeah.
I think there will be.
Do you think? You're probably right. Don't get me wrong. But I would like to think a lot of companies this year have gone, you know what? We didn't need that. And okay, none of the competitors turned up because it wasn't there. But if they're all thinking the same thing, and I'm pretty sure a lot of these developers probably all know each other, they meet up in the bar or whatever because they're all based in Tokyo, or at least a huge number of them are. You kind of think there must be conversation going on, do we need to spend all the time and money and resource sending all our people over there? Probably not.
Yeah, very true. Well, it'll be one to find out. I think by this time next year, everyone will just want human contact and company so much that everyone will go, to be honest, but maybe I'm wrong. Right, let's move on then and get talking about this week's rumours.
Now, I'm not normally one for gossip, but...
Okay, so first up, we have, I mentioned Mafia 2, so we talked about that. I know I want to talk about that all night, but it's there. It's a rumour. It's quite a strong rumour. Fingers crossed on that. We've also got one about Tai the Tasmanian Tiger, which I know is one of Anton's favourite games. I really want to get this, by the way. So this is launched now, but they'd love to bring Tai 2 and Tai 3 to the Switch. They say they would really like to, and they're pretty much ready to port since the PC HD ones are done. But to be totally honest, it's still going to depend on how well the first one goes. I think you would be delighted, Anton.
Indeed.
I can see it happening though on the Switch.
Yeah, you know, I think considering the Kickstarter more than met its budget, you know, obviously they're going to make profit from their individual game sales. I think this is... Obviously, there's a slim chance it couldn't happen, but a fairly safe bet. And Tai 2 is the best of the trilogy, I would say. So, fingers crossed it does happen.
Yeah, I'm pretty excited about the idea of playing this game, to be honest. It just looks like a proper classic old school platformer. And I think it looks a lot of fun. So, yeah, let's hope that they do bring 2 and 3 to the Switch. Next up, an official statement on Sega Forever. They said they're the team that brings the free-to-play classics to mobile. They're going to be covering Sega's retro catalogue across all platforms. What could that mean? Because we've got Sega Ages, don't we?
So, Kelv, Sega Forever does a similar gig to Sega Ages, but it's on mobile, and you can buy the games for a flat rate, kind of basically the same prices as the Switch, if not a little cheaper. But their whole gimmick is you can watch like 1 30-second ad and then you can just play as much as you want kind of within of that session. So I presume that either means internally they're going to be compressing the two teams, and what's a Sega Ages release will also be on the Switch. The alternative, and then kind of less hopeful one, is that the Switch gets the games like the free to play option of the Sega Forever catalog, which would be an iffy move, would you say, Alistair?
Iffy, I think, is quite a good way of putting it. Yeah, I'm not sure if the smartest decision for them to do that, but at the end of the day, I mean, if they've got more teams bringing more games to more platforms, it's probably not a bad business decision from their point of view. It's more opportunity to make money, because although they're free to play, I presume they monetize them some way, do they?
Yeah, so you can either buy them outright,
yeah,
like you
assume
can,
so.
Like you can do on the Switch, or you can watch the 1 30-second ad. I think the most ideal situation here is they maybe the port, like they make one like modernized port of, let's say, Rystar. They port it to the different consoles with their own, like on mobile it still has the ad option and you pay it outright, but on the Switch it's just you pay it outright. Because I think that if they brought ads to Switch, I don't think people would stand for it.
No, I can't see that being a good thing, a good move whatsoever. Next up, a new Atlus survey. They asked fans if they would like Persona 5 Scramble, which is the kind of Hyrule Warriors version of Persona 5, localized in English. Surely the answer was yes?
Yeah, I don't think Atlus really understands their fans, which is a shame because they've got lots of them. I think they were so... Because they had the survey where they're asking if people wanted Persona 5 on Switch. Obviously, you know, a strong following behind that. So I would say this would be a guarantee considering the fans' love of the franchise. But considering our wait for a fifth Persona game on Switch, who knows what Atlus will do? Yes.
Yes. Is there a box in the survey for other? And just right back going, no, give us Persona 5.
Yes. I'm hoping with them finally bringing Catherine full body to Switch, they'll be treating us a little bit nicer in future.
Yeah, I suspect we'll see more updates in due course from Atlus. I think they've realised that they might be into a good thing with the Switch, but they've just got to actually get that Persona 5 done. Please, thank you. Next up, a little bit on Mario's 35th anniversary. So there's been a lot of rumours and huge rumours. It's pretty much taken over all the feed that I've seen on any Nintendo chat this week. There's all this rumour that they're going to be planning to release a whole bunch of old games. So that's things like Super Mario Galaxy, Super Mario 64, Super Mario Sunshine. This has all come from Andy Robinson of VGC, who's been sharing all these multiple sources information. He's kind of said lots of things that this is going to happen. There'll be re-releases, which would be amazing. He's tried to corroborate this with other people as well. And Eurogamer have also corroborated these rumors too. New Paper Mario, deluxe version of Super Mario 3D World. Are we just asking too much here, or could this actually happen, Alistair?
Well, why not? I mean, I can't see any reason why it wouldn't happen. And sure enough, I mean, 35 years of Mario, it's maybe not the biggest of landmark ones, but it gives them a really good marketing opportunity. They've got a console that's sold hundreds of millions of units around the world with a captive audience. Why wouldn't they? It just seems like it's a fairly simple thing for Nintendo to do, to chuck out all their old IP, update it a little bit, refresh the graphics, and make a boatload of money that all of us out there would just be throwing our money at, because, well, I don't know about you guys, but I'd be lapping up the opportunity to go and play Paper Mario and Super Mario World 3D and whatnot on the Switch. It's a genius idea. Although I think it's a bit of a shame that they end up cancelling the 35-year event, but I could only presume that's because of, you know, the event that's going on at the moment that we will not reference. The weird thing is, despite the fact I clocked when all these games came out, I never realised Mario was younger than I am. That makes me feel really old.
I mean, it can't be much, in it.
A couple of years. Well, you're the same age as me. You know this.
Well, Mario also did appear on other... I'm going to have to go and find out Mario's actual age now. Carry on, Anton. Say what you're going to say about this.
But,
while I look,
yeah,
at Mario.
You know, it's interesting where originally we had the rumours coming out, and it was by VGC basically saying that we're getting the entire Mario back catalogue coming to Switch. But as the kind of rumour matured, as kind of Eurogamer kind of came in with their sources, Gametsu came in, and then VentureBeat came in, it started to make a lot more sense. So what the proposal is that we would be getting a Super Mario All-Stars 2 cell collection, where it would be kind of your 64, Sunshine and Galaxy kind of as a set. We would get a deluxe version of 3D World, and then a Paper Mario on the site with expansion of kind of more 2D titles via kind of NES Online and SNES Online. Which I think the idea of maybe getting an All-Stars 2 makes sense, because I think they're really hesitant to maybe do an N64 line, and I think that game's a little bit too dated to just port over without remastering. So putting in a collection, kind of with that and Sunshine Galaxy, I think they could have just sold on its own, but combining it with the two older ones, which are still beloved but a little bit too dated to port, seems like a really wise move in terms of kind of setting up Nintendo, kind of setting up the back catalogue for when we've got the movie and Super Nintendo Land on the horizon, which seems an interesting timing of events.
I'd love to see what they would do with Mario All-Stars 2. Because the very first Mario All-Stars, which I think was on the SNES from memory, basically took all the old NES games, 1, 2, 3 and The Lost Worlds, and turned them into SNES graphics. So basically updated them to the same game, but visually a brand new game. So if they could take something like Super Mario 64, which is one of my favourite games of all time, it was brilliant, and make that look like Mario Odyssey, which I guess is what they would probably do, that would be epic.
Yeah,
it would be really epic.
We already have HD ports of Galaxy, so I wonder, because there's so many consistent assets due to just how consistent the franchise would be, if they would maybe just reskin it with those assets and kind of have that one unified look would be incredible.
Yeah, it'd be cool.
I've got some good news for you, Alistair. Mario's older than you. He was actually born in 1981. That was his first appearance in Donkey Kong.
Ah, thank goodness. He's marginally older than me, just.
Just and no more.
So why are we calling it Mario's 35th anniversary? Is that the first time you've
Nintendo?
Well,
it's the first game, isn't it? First proper official Mario game.
Mario Brothers? Super Mario Brothers?
Yeah, they may be.
Well, it depends which one you call the official first one, really,
exactly.
Doesn't it?
You've got the arcade, you've got the... Because, I mean, Super Mario Brothers was on Spectrum and it was on all sorts of other consoles and Commodore.
Yeah,
well,
the Super Jumpman, which was Mario.
Yeah, I mean, it's... But anyway, 35. We're saying 35 years. I would have thought the first NES game, 85, surely that's the 35 years, Anton, I'm thinking.
It's interesting because we've got the arcade game, but we've also got the Game & Watch. So I don't know where they draw the line exactly.
Confusing.
And then if we want to get really wild, we've got the... I think they had versions on the ColecoVision and Ataris. Oh.
Yeah, they did, yeah.
It's a blurry point. They pretend it never happened there.
Well, look. In September 1985, Super Mario Brothers appeared on the NES. So that's we'll go with that.
Yeah, so it was the NES. Yeah, that makes sense. Okay, well, look, with that, let's move on to this week's quiz.
I have so many questions.
Alistair, what's your theme? Because you've always got a theme.
I do have a theme, and I hinted to it at the beginning. So I was playing Mario Kart, and I decided that I was going to do a kart theme this week. Incidentally, actually, Mario Kart Online, I've not played that for so long, and I was playing with a few friends this week because nobody has anything better to do. That is such a good game. Go back and play it. Go and play it. Anyway, for those who haven't heard the quiz before, each week I challenge my fellow gamers to find the real game from a list of three. Normally, two are fake, one is real. This week, I've got three real ones, one fake. Are you with me?
Three real
kart games, one fake kart game. You've got to find which one is the fake. So okay. I trolled the internet, just looking for as many kart games as there have been. There have been so many. I mean, even Konami made like a collection of their own random characters into a kart game. There's been hundreds of them. But these are all fairly mainstream ones. I thought I'll keep it simple. They're all franchises. Big franchises that have been turned into kart games. You've got to tell me which one I pretended and made up. So I'm just going to list them off in order, and you can just take your pick. I think who went first last week? That's a good point. I really should find out who went first last week. Podcast, Anton went first last week, so this week it's going to be Mike.
Ooh.
So are you ready for this, Mike?
Oh, why not?
Okay, the list. The Muppets, 2000, PlayStation 1. Toy Story, 2001, PlayStation 1 and Game Boy Color. Justice League, 2001, PlayStation 1. Looney Tunes, 2001, PlayStation 1 and Game Boy Color. So that was Looney Tunes, Muppets, Toy Story and the Justice League. Take your pick.
Okay.
Which one isn't a real kart game?
All right. I'm going to say Muppets and I'll give them a reasoning later.
Okay. Anton?
Oh, could you repeat them again? Rapid fire round.
Rapid fire. Toy Story, Justice League, Muppets, Looney Tunes.
Okay. I'm going to go for Justice League because they're the odd one out and I think I remember some... I could see the other ones in carts. Alrighty. Who's the
Okay, Mike,
the dead
what was your
man?
Reasoning?
My reasoning behind that was licensing. I think that they would be the most difficult one to get, and I think the other ones, I mean, PS1 era, there are so many flipping cart games that it could have been any of them, so that was my reasoning.
All right, well, you're wrong. Hey. However, Anton was right. The Justice League are entirely made up. As far as I'm aware, they've never been in carts.
See, I was a little bit nervous because they did do the crossover with Mortal Kombat in the 2000s. So I was like, they're open to some weird stuff, I guess.
Yeah, there were tons. I mean, I kept coming up with random franchises I could think of from the past, typing them in and go, I don't know, like Shrek cart game, and there was a Shrek cart game, or anything I came up with, put it in the cart, there was a game of it. The Justice League was the only one I couldn't seem to find a cart game of.
Wow, there we are.
I mean, so there you go.
There are so many. I mean, even on the Switch, there are lots of cart games that, you know, you look at now and you go, wow. But there are plenty in there, and some of them are actually better than you think. But yeah, I think Mario, are we all agreed Mario is the cart game?
The definitive, hands down. Nobody comes close.
Yeah, I think it's that and a close runner-up for Team Sonic. Well, not Team Sonic, but maybe Sonic Sega All-Stars. I just love the drifting in that game. Just felt so tight and perfect.
Yeah, I've got
to
say that was
my second place to Diddy Kong Racing back on the... I'm going to say that was also on the N64, I think.
Underrated one. They used to have a fantastic Little Big Planet karting, but it was little bit late to the party because it had full level creation, but this is a topic for another day.
Brilliant, I love it. I mean, there are so many kart games on the go, I would say, as well. I mean, I do like Crash Team Racing, although I have to say there's a real issue on the Switch with the remaster where it's really tough or it's far too easy. It's like there's no middle ground on that one. But yeah, Mario Kart, and then maybe the same as you, Anton, actually, those Sonic Racing ones, that they were really good, the one and the two, the two that were on the PlayStation 3 era, I think.
Yeah, they had really the first good one, then I think they had Transformed, where you could turn into planes and boats. Yeah. And then
the first
one
was better for me.
Yeah, just the driving was so good. I feel like they compromised it to fit in everything else in the later ones, but...
Yeah. Well, there we are. Another win for Anton. I'm going to have to change the format of this quiz because I just never win.
You literally at the moment have half the points of Anton. He's on 8-4. Sorry, dude.
That's better than I thought it was on, to be perfectly honest. Well, that is it. Once again, just a quick reminder, if you haven't already, nsukp.co.uk, that's our website, all the details. We're on Twitter as well, by the way. So if you're on there, it's NSUK Podcast on Twitter. Email Alistair.
Is podcast@nsukp.co.uk, and I will pick it up and reply because I'm currently on furlough, as everyone else is, and got nothing better to do with my time.
I'm not on furlough. I'm not on anything because I'm self-employed, so I'm just carrying on as much as I can. Not very
carry
easy
on,
for
regardless.
Events and stuff, but I'm not furlough. But that means that you can reply anyway, so that's good. Anton, anything else you want to add?
I think that's just the gist of it. For any other information that we may have omitted, if you head over to our website, nsukp.co.uk, we've got everything there, from videos to links to where the 50, I think we're on 12 different sites you can get the podcasts, and yeah, everything's on there and you can learn all about us.
Indeed, and the best place to leave the review is still on Apple Podcasts.
Thank you.
Please do, that would be great, thank you so much. Alright then, that is it for another Nintendo Switch UK podcast. We will be back in a week's time. Until then, have a lovely week. Goodbye.
Cheerio.
Au revoir.